This is the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
We talk about like the right and the obligation of the immigrant.
These aren't just businesses. They're a very important part of the experience of being American and Chinese at the same time.
I just got told, well, I'm not going to go to college. They don't take immigrant people.
They were raised and taught that it's so taboo to be out. Here in the States, they are able to express it or show it.
Once they're inside, it's like they're transported back to Manila, to Philippines, in their own favorite Jollibee store.
Feet in Two Worlds, telling the stories of today's immigrants.
13 years is a long time to wait, especially when you're young. It's been that long since the DREAM Act was first introduced in Congress. Since then, some of the young undocumented immigrants it was intended to help have grown up. And let's just say their thinking has evolved. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. The DREAM Act has never become law, but the young undocumented immigrants the act is designed to help have transformed the immigrant rights movement anyway, giving it a new sense of urgency and hope. Now, growing numbers of DREAMers, as they're called, have started to question the core concepts of the DREAM Act. With me in the studio is Feet in Two Worlds editor Von Diaz. She just wrote an article about the changes happening in the Dreamer movement for the Feet in Two Worlds online magazine. Von, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John.
Also with us is Tanu Yakopitiyage. She's the communications coordinator for the New York Immigration Coalition, an immigrant rights group here in New York City. Tanu, welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Thank you for having me.
Von, a little bit of background first. What is the main idea behind the DREAM Act, and why is it being questioned by the very people who once were such vocal supporters of it?
The DREAM Act gives undocumented immigrant youth who are in school, came at a certain age, and don't have criminal records a chance at citizenship. So basically, it's a more permanent version of deferred action, or DACA, which President Obama introduced in 2012. But many of the young immigrants that I've talked to feel like this legislation is more of a Band-Aid and one that gives them special privileges while leaving many of their loved ones behind.
Their parents and grandparents who are undocumented.
Exactly. So let's hear from Razin Zaman, who's the campaign organizer for the New York State Youth Leadership Council, or YLC.
When you put one part of the undocumented population and when you categorize them as dreamers and everyone else is, I guess, a non-dreamer, right? It basically says we're different, we're elite, we're special in some way, right? And there are real life consequences to marketing yourself this way.
That's a pretty dramatic shift in point of view from what we heard earlier years from dreamers and members of the dreamer movement. And in fact, some of them have even stopped calling themselves dreamers, correct?
Exactly. And she's certainly among those.
So how widespread is this change among these young undocumented immigrants?
You know, John, that's a tough question. I mean, there are 1.7 million DREAM Act eligible youth across the country and 90,000 in New York alone. So with a group that large and diverse, it's difficult to predict how they all feel. But I think it's fair to say that the increase in people infiltrating and chaining themselves to the fences of immigrant detention centers, for example, in activists traveling to Mexico and crossing back over the border, demanding humanitarian asylum, combined with a growing presence of people working in arts and culture, I think that really signals a widespread shift.
Now, you spoke to Claudia Munoz. Tell us about her.
Claudia is one of the activists who's infiltrated an immigrant detention center. And she says that getting papers, which is shorthand for citizenship, won't solve everything.
When you're driving down the road without a license, but you see La Migra on the side of the road, like, you're not thinking, should I have a license? You're thinking, I'm going to end up deported. And some people say, well, if you had a document, you're not going to end up deported. The reality is that, like, right now, at the stage where we are, where we have been for the past year, it's sort of, like, hard to imagine just getting even a paper. You saw the timeline is, like, 13 years.
A little bit more background on Munoz. She's been living in Texas since she was 16, which is why she's referencing La Migra, or immigration authorities, which is a huge issue there, particularly for people who have to drive without driver's licenses. And here I feel like she really signals a sense of distrust with the immigration process and is choosing to focus instead on stopping deportations, which more and more seems to be what people are fighting for.
Tanu, the New York Immigration Coalition, which you work for, is not a Dreamer organization. It represents immigrants of all ages and of all ethnicities. But I wonder, in your work, have you seen these changes in the Dreamer movement?
Yes, I think that there's a way in which Dreamers are, or undocumented youth rather, because a lot of them actually don't want to be called Dreamers anymore. Really, you know, they have a shift in thinking, and so much of that really is because they're growing as organizers. A lot of young people are coming into their own and really coming out as undocumented, you know, when they're 16, 17, 18. There's a different process of being young and, you know, learning about what immigration means to oneself when you're 16 as opposed to when you're 23, 24. And so we're seeing a shift as people grow, which I think is great. And we can...
Is it great? I mean, the Dreamers, I'll use that term, even though some of them don't want to have it used to describe them. They were such a powerful force in energizing the immigrant rights movement at a time when there was a real crisis around the movement. How should we move forward? And then these young people came to the forefront. They started revealing their undocumented status and challenging authorities to arrest them and so forth. If they're not doing that anymore, if they're not really, you know, if they're not focused around that central issue, doesn't that sort of affect the entire immigrant rights movement?
I think that movements evolve, and I think we have to think about the Dreamer movement historically. So in 2001, when Federal Dream Act legislation was first introduced, a lot of the language around the Dream Act was, well, you know, we deserve to stay because it wasn't our fault, it was our parents' fault. You know, there's some people who would argue that that really threw parents under the bus, for example, and really just, you know, elevated you know, Dreamers to this particular status, and exactly what Razine said in her interview, you know, this concern around pitting yourself up as an exception. And I think the shift that we're seeing is this organizing shift where people are really thinking about how it is to strategically message themselves, particularly in a time where, you know, Dreamers, those who came under the age of 16 and are under the age of 30 now qualify for deferred action for childhood arrivals, if they meet certain kinds of criteria. And when this passed, a lot of undocumented youth saw that, well, you know, this is great and this is one step in the right direction, but we need comprehensive immigration reform and larger things for our community so that our parents are able to stay, so that our communities are able to stay. A lot of undocumented youth are saying, well, you know, it's not just about me being able to get an education. My entire community is here. And so that is, I think, one of the shifts in the Dreamer movement, is to really be inclusive of everyone and to really think of a larger strategy in terms of administrative relief.
But I also got a sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, from the piece that that Vaughn wrote for Feet in Two Worlds, that some of these young activists are kind of giving up on the notion of creating a pathway to citizenship. They're saying, we are global citizens, or citizenship isn't everything. It's more about human rights or the dignity of the individual. I wonder how, first of all, if my perception of this is correct, and if so, I mean, how does that work out in the long run?
I don't think that all Dreamers are monolithic in how it is that they're thinking about these things, and so it's difficult for me to say that, yes, you know, all Dreamers are now shifting away from this, and I disagree. So I run a youth program for Dreamers through the New York Immigration Coalition. It's called the Dream Fellowship. We give a partial scholarship. Usually in the spring semester, we're doing it in the fall this year, and I do leadership development trainings with them. A lot of the young people who've come out of the Dream Fellowship are still really active in New York City and New York State around the New York State Dream Act and are still pushing for comprehensive immigration reform. You know, in movements where you're constantly pushing and you're constantly getting pushback, for example, from members of Congress, of course, I think young people are going to be exhausted. They're going to be burnt out. Movements come in waves. And I think that...
So do you see this as kind of a period where people are retrenching in a way, sort of reevaluating,
yes,
for the next push?
Absolutely. You know, we're at a time where the New York State Dream Act failed to pass the state Senate. We are seeing very little movement in comprehensive immigration reform on the national level with Congress. And so because of where we are right now, you're going to see a shift in strategy. You're going to see people going back into the trenches to reevaluate how it is that they can push President Obama, the administration, Congress, and also get state policies that support their communities.
Now, Vaughn, you spoke to one of Tanu's colleagues at the New York Immigration Coalition, Manny Castro, and he also addressed this issue of the focus of the movement.
He did. And Manny Castro is the lead organizer for, or the lead community organizer for the NYIC.
Yes.
And because of his role as someone who's working with all of these different groups, mm-hmm. he was really careful to make sure that he was recognizing the efforts of all of these different groups simultaneously. But he also was pretty solid in his thinking around comprehensive immigration reform as being a primary focus.
You know, we're in this work because of how much our communities are suffering as a result of lack of legislation. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're fighting for full protections of our communities. We need to make sure that at the long term, people are protected fully. And you only achieve that through citizenship.
So, Tanu, would you say that the goal of creating a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants has not been compromised in any way by this change of heart or change of tactics by some members of the DREAM movement?
I think that there can be multiple strategies to get to what we want. I think that the New York Immigration Coalition, as my colleague Manny Castro said, you know, we continue to push for comprehensive immigration reform. We understand that unless there is a pathway to citizenship, all of, you know, things like DACA or administrative relief in some ways are just Band-Aids. In the meantime, while we try to support the crisis in our communities, however, in the long run, we need a solution to the broken immigration system, and that's what we're fighting for. The fact that people in the Dreamer movement may be shifting their focus to more administrative relief, I think, you know, is also part of that strategy. We need a multi-pronged strategy to get what we want.
And do you sense that the same energy that the Dreamers were putting into the immigrant rights movement is still there, or because there's a lot of different strategies and they're not as focused on the DREAM Act, per se, as they some of them were in the past, is that in any way affecting the energy and the focus of the movement as a whole?
When people need to band together, they will. I think that this is, again, a moment where people are rethinking what are the strategies that we need to take into account to get what we want. So, you know, on the city level, the New York Immigration Coalition is really working with Mayor de Blasio and City Council to push municipal identity cards. Municipal identity cards would provide at least city protections for immigrants regardless, or people in New York regardless of status. And I think, you know, that's one sort of city policy that really supports our communities on a local level. On the state level, we continue to push for, you know, more support services for our immigrant communities. And we continue to push for the New York State DREAM Act, and we will be doing that again. And then on the national level, we'll continue to push for comprehensive immigration reform and for administrative relief.
And I had a kind of a follow-up that also has to do with this issue of, or this question of age. You know, the age component of deferred action has rubbed some activists the wrong way. One of the best known immigrant rights activists and undocumented immigrants, Jose Antonio Vargas, he didn't qualify. He was of a certain age at the time when deferred action was introduced. And a lot of the young immigrants that I've talked to have made some similar statements, you know, saying, you know, when I was 18 years old, I felt a certain way, but now I'm 24. Am I really youth? Am I really young?
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that component of this.
I would say that even for young people who are aging into deferred action, there's no guarantees with deferred action. You know, it is a two-year stay of deportation where you can work. Very soon, people will start to renew their deferred action. You know, depending on who's president come 2016, we might see shifts again. And so even for people who are younger, there is a very real sense that this is temporary. And I agree, you know, there's obviously a big difference from being 18 to being 24. The question about, am I really youth? You know, what is my role in this movement? I know a lot of young people who are just like, you know what? I just want to work. I just want to live my life. And that's completely fine. I mean, I completely understand why they would want to do that. And I think that's really part of this thinking, a lot of this thinking, this anger, and really trying to figure out what is being a dreamer? How does one fit into that? And how does the larger community fit into that?
based on your work and the group that you had, and also being, you know, in community with a lot of these young people, what direction do you think young activists are starting to go in?
For right now, I think young activists are going in the direction of recognizing that the overall goal needs to be a permanent solution such as pathway to citizenship. However, if Congress is going to continue to block this and is continuing to put all these sort of political plays on our communities, that there needs to be something immediately done. And so I think that young people will be shifting towards more of an administrative relief point of action. And we can already see this with a lot of the more recent protests that have been going on to really push the president and the administration to stop deportations and to provide relief for our communities. We're seeing a lot of Dreamers, you know, going to detention centers, tying themselves to detention centers, and doing really radical actions such as, you know, crossing the U.S.-Mexico border and demanding to come back. All of these actions are really interesting, really brave, and really part of the ways in which these young communities, these Dreamers, are continuing to stay relevant and really making this country think about citizenship, think about community, and think about how the U.S. has to grow with these young people as well.
Tanu Yakupitiage is the communications coordinator for the New York Immigration Coalition. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Vaughn Diaz is Feet in Two Worlds editor. Always a pleasure, Vaughn.
Thanks, John.
Our producer is Jocelyn Gonzalez. The engineer is Chad Bernhardt at the studios of the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, who we thank for their support of Feet in Two Worlds. This podcast is part of our online magazine, Redefining the American Dream. You can read and listen to all the features in the magazine at our website, fi2w.org. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the support tab in the upper right-hand corner. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.